and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's program for October the 19th. I'm Jeannie Wirtz. How are legends created, and where do they come from? According to the Free Dictionary, a legend can be anything or anyone whose fame promises to be enduring. This week we look at a fountain, a fable, and a mountain. Where in the world can you buy fruit and flowers, hear a concert, go skating, attend a demonstration, greet a politician, and stand on top of a fortune? They're all possible on the Bundesplatz, the square before the Parliament building in the Swiss capital of Bern. After spending several decades as a parking lot, the Bundesplatz is now a gathering place for tourists and locals alike. From spring through October, the square's main attraction is a fountain with 26 nozzles, each representing one of the Swiss cantons. This week, I paid a visit to the fountain with Bern choreographer Christian Mattis, who told me about the challenges of choreographing 26 jets of water.
Well, the challenge was really, well, fascinating. You have 26 jets, and they can't do very much except spit water, you know, different height. That is about, well, 2 feet to about 20... 30, 25 feet high, that's all. And with that, you have to do something. And that was a big challenge, mm-hmm. to do half an hour choreography.
Space and time are both elements of choreography. How did you use them in designing the fountain and how it works?
Well, as I say, you have 26 jets, so you can play with rhythm. Succession of these 26, you can have all 26 at the same time at the maximum height. Or you can have all 26 just gradually growing from, well, the 2 feet up to the 25 feet during 10 seconds. Or you can just start with one jet, then add another, and so on. Or you can have half of the jets changing with the other half back and forth, or. Just very simple.
Is it like choreographing with people?
Not really. The jets aren't that intelligent. I work with images. I want to create images with rhythm, forms that stay, that get burnt into the heart and mind of the spectator.
And the fountain isn't just interesting to look at, it also has a lot of different sounds. So how could you test if it worked, if the sounds worked?
Yeah, with the sounds what we have right now, I tried to create a rhythm, a pattern, acoustic pattern. But the difficult thing is, I could create the moment when the water starts, but how long it takes to fall down and the actual sound it makes, I didn't know. I had to try out.
So did you try it out here, or where did you do your experimenting?
Well, I did the half an hour on the computer. I designed it on the computer, then came here, and we uploaded the whole thing, and then I watched and listened and started to change. I had night shifts, actually. Now you have all 26 at the same time. The jets, the spit, you can't hear. You only hear the fall.
It's common to see people running through the streams of water. Did you expect the choreography to be so interactive?
This fountain is like any other fountain I've seen before. This fountain has absolutely no boundaries. Before I did the choreography here, I went to Singapore for a week. Because someone told me, in Singapore, you have many, many, many fountains. And it's true. So I went a week to Singapore to watch fountains and actually created the whole thing over there. So that was my preparation to come here. And there I realized every fountain, even all the fountains here in the city, they have some sort of a boundary. They have a little wall or a little hole, whatever. But this one, no, there's no boundary. You don't know where it starts, you don't know where it stops.
That makes it much more accessible to the people then.
Yeah, exactly. The kids, they just run through and have fun. You know, so even if they get soaked, they don't care.
That was choreographer Christian Mattis.
Eine ist in Nacht, wo ich spät noch bin gelaufen, Bundesterrasse zu der Aufgegen, hey, hab ich einen bärtigen Kerl.
Another local legend who is making an appearance on the Bundesplatz over the next 6 weeks is Bernese singer Mani Mater, who died in 1972. Known for his often humorous or satirical songs in Bernese German, Mater plays a role in the third rendition of Rendezvous Bundesplatz, a hugely popular sound and light show being projected on the Swiss Parliament building from October 18th through December 1st. The concept changes every year, and the show attracted hundreds of thousands of people in its first 2 years. The day before the 2013 premiere, I talked with producer Urs Kiesing about how the first production came into being, and what makes the current one memorable. Bern wasn't actually the first city that was approached to host the light show, Gesine told me. But it was the first that agreed.
There were two authorities to convince. First of all, the city of Bern. They were first a bit hesitating because they didn't know what we're actually talking about. But then we actually got their green light for using the Bundesplatz. But the building itself, that's not the city of Bern, that's the Confederation, the Swiss Confederation. So we approached the parliament services. Luckily, at that year, the ladies were in power. We had on all levels, National Council, Council of the Cantons, and the Federal Council, women on top. And they felt that's a pretty good idea. So they gave permission for 1 year.
How long does it take to produce one show?
Well, for the whole project, you have to say when Rendezvous Bundesplatz stops, the next starts. It's about a year you have to calculate. Well, not just the production of it. But just to give you an idea, for this year's production, there was a team of 10 infographists working for 3 months. We don't use the Federal Parliament building just as a screen. We always want to tell a story that has a certain connection to this building. It's a technique which is called mapping technique, which on the millimeter exact measures the Parliament building, and then it is transformed into the computers, and then the show is designed.
The first year, 330,000 people around saw Rendezvous Bundesplatz in 2 months, and last year it was 500,000. Have you done a lot of publicity, or is it really more word of mouth and people telling each other?
As a matter of fact, in the first year, we didn't have any money to do publicity. It was really the people who saw it who spread the news and invited other people. And, of course, the media played an important role.
The theme of the first show in 2011 was the formation of the Swiss Confederation, and I guess last year was Swiss innovation. What's the focus this year?
We will have a story about Swiss legends, from Heidi to William Tell to Helvetia and others. What will be unique is the really different transformation of this facade in various buildings. I mean, you have a ghost castle, you have the castle of the King of Switzerland, who doesn't exist, as we all know, but it's a legend, you know. And so there's so many different visual aspects, I think many more than we had in the past. And one very special thing will be an appearance of Mani Matter. He has a song by the name of Dynamite, which actually is a song about the Parliament building, respectively, somebody who wants to blow up the Parliament building. But he luckily succeeded in keeping him away from that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite courageous also, and it's a positive sign that the Swiss Parliament allows to play a song like this. I think this is not possible in every country.
That was Urs Giesin of Starlight Events, producer of the sound and light show Rendezvous Bundesplatz.
I've been climbing up a mountain since the day that I was born. It's been so long of a journey, I feel kind of tired and worn.
Courage is a quality people definitely associate with mountain climbers. On October 9th, Swiss mountain climber Uli Steck made history with a record-breaking 28-hour solo climb of Annapurna 1, one of the Himalaya's most dangerous 8,000-meter peaks. Steck is known as the Swiss machine for his unbelievable speed and the many summits he has conquered. Swiss Info journalist Billy Bierling met up with Steck in Kathmandu afterwards to find out whether he considers himself a legend.
When you set out to do the Annapurna South Face, you know, even back in Switzerland, were you aware of the fact that if you really managed to do it, and or solo it as you ended up doing it, that this was like, you know, people are saying, you know, you've written Himalayan history. Were you aware that this was such a big thing?
For me, this isn't like, no, not really important. For me, it was a personal thing. No, I tried 2 times, and it was always a dream, like climbing a route, like a new route, a direct line, technical to an 8,000-meter peak. That's like, yeah, that's my highest dream I ever had in my life. And that, 2 times, no success. then this spring, this story on Everest, this really broke my heart a little bit, and I had a hard time. But on the other hand, I was like so hungry to climb something, so I was really, really focused to finish that. And all the rest, I don't even think about, you know. And this is also not important, you know, if it's history or whatever. It's more like it's your personal challenge, which is very important.
I'm sure you studied the wall at base camp and you looked at the route, but of course, you know, that it's, you know, terrain you didn't know. I mean, how did you feel? You were just, I mean, you know, climbing into the unknown.
This is normal. If you do a first ascent, you don't know what's going to happen. It's pretty simple, the whole thing. But, you know, it's kind of like a moving on progress, you know. You just climb and you just don't think too much what's going to be on summit. It's more like, no, it's still working well, you progress, you can climb, it's safe. And then it keeps rolling, you know. If you look on the whole thing from beginning, you would never climb because this is too much. You cannot handle that. It's just, you're taking step by step.
I mean, it is a 2.5 kilometer high wall. And I mean, one wrong step would, you know, would mean death. Were you ever scared?
No, never. If I would be scared, I would go down. This is a lot of pressure in your head. But if you can use this pressure, you get really, really strong.
What you have just achieved has been hailed by people like Chris Bonington, you know, one of the greatest achievements in modern Himalayan history. So, I mean, what makes you so strong? I mean, it's your physical strength, but also what have you got? What do you just have the guts other people don't have? Or
no, I don't think I'm stronger than other people, but I think I'm just, if I have an idea, a project, I can really focus on that. And I can really shut down emotions up there. I mean, and I know exactly what I can climb, and I know exactly what I can climb safe. Of course, there is always a risk you cannot calculate. I mean, we know that as soon as we go to the mountains, there is a risk that you can die. But this risk is really small, I think, in this case. And all the rest, this gives me this confidence that, like, I can climb that. I'm not going to fall off here. And then I can go for it.
That was Swiss Info's Billy Bierling talking with Swiss legend Uli Steck. That's all we have time for. For more details and information about Switzerland, go to www.swissinfo.ch. To play us out, here is Tim O'Brien again with Climbing Up a Mountain. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week. I'm Jeannie Wirtz.
I've been climbing up a mountain since the day that I was born. It's been so long of a journey. I feel kind of tired and worn. So long of a journey, and I feel kind of tired and worn. Those days are gone. Now I always had what I needed. Always had the place to go. If I listened to what my heart said, always knew what I needed to know. What you need to know.
What you need to know.
What you need to know. Just listen to your heart and hear what you need to know.